Good evening. Can you hear me now? All right. You guys come on in, and you ladies quit gossiping out there and get in here. I trust everyone is having a good week this week. Looking forward to our Bible study tonight. I pray for me that I make it through. I've done something I have not done in a long time. I eat a big meal about 4:30, and I'm ready for a nap. So now I'm trying to, me and Michelle are doing, well, we are trying to do a little bit of intermittent fasting, having a little bigger breaks between our meals. And so I had a bigger meal tonight, and she's going to starve me until next Tuesday. So that's why I eat so much, but no. Well, let's go ahead and look to the Lord in prayer. We'll ask God's blessing. Go ahead and stand, and we'll remain standing. We'll sing our first song after we pray. And so glad you're here tonight. Lord, we love you. Thank you for your goodness, your blessings, and the joy of service, the joy of fellowship. Thank you for the beautiful day that you've given us today, the beautiful sky and the sunshine. And we just ask your continuous guidance and blessings. And may we sing with sunshine in our hearts tonight as we think of the wonderful weather we have right now. Lord, bless our time together in your word. May we be challenged and many things even reminded, Lord, of the comfort that we have in Christ. Lord, we love you. And we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen.
Number 477, the solid rock, 477.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
And number 502, 502, and can it be? 502. 502.
Yeah.
and greet those around you, please.
Services on Sunday.
Amen.
Do you have announcements?
There. Check. Check. All right. You be seated.
Just so I don't forget, remember the Bush House just got note back from them that his anything about the heart cath, I'll mention later. I just don't want to forget. But he's having some other bleeding issues, so they'll be doing some tests. Hopefully they don't have blood cancer. So they cannot find where he's bleeding, why he's bleeding. So please keep him in prayer. And I just want to make sure I did not forget that before our prayer time. He should be on the list from last week. But I'll keep him in prayer, and I'm going to try to reach out to him this week or next week to actually talk to him. I've heard through others, but haven't been able to talk to him or his wife yet.
What's the name again?
Bouchard. Is there in Michigan?
Bouchard. Dave Bouchard. All right, amen. Number 485. This world is not my home. 485. 485. This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what would I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. 485. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Verse 4. Just up in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's open door, and I can't be at home in this world anymore.
Amen. Catch your breath. Tonight we have a letter from the Patricks, missionaries to Nigeria. Now, their latest, they had a letter published in the bulletin on just 2 weeks ago. It was their February letter. I'm not going to reread it because you've probably already seen it. However, this is important that you hear their latest update. June 19th, it's like yesterday. 2 days ago, June 19th, 2023. Dear supporters and prayer partners, it is with heavy heart that I'm writing to inform you that we will not be returning to the mission field of Nigeria. We are officially resigning from BMI. There has been no scandal. We are still happily married. We are not departing from being independent Baptists, and none of our doctrinal positions have changed. We have just painfully come to the realization that mission work in Nigeria is not the right fit for us and our marriage. We have no schism with our standing church, the missionaries we are working with, or BMI, Brother Broman, or BMI director. Brother Broman, our BMI director, has been very supportive and understanding during this difficult decision, and we are very thankful for that. We have a good amount of savings, and we are not in need of any additional support. We will give a portion of the savings to the veteran missionary that we were working with to distribute according to his discernment so that it will still go towards Nigerian missions. We apologize for any inconvenience this transaction may cause you and your church. We ask for your prayers for grace, healing, and direction as we see what the Lord has for our future. Thank you so very much for every minute you have spent in prayers for us, every dollar you have given, and every encouraging email you have sent. Here's the letter from our BMI director wrote concerning our resignation, Garen and Annalise Patrick. So this is a nice letter written by the director for Africa from BMI. And he says, this is Eric Bowman, African field director. Dear supporters of Garen and Annalise Patrick, it has been a joy to know and work with the Patricks over the past several years, to visit them on the field of Nigeria, and to see their ministry heart and potential. However, they have had some struggles on the field, and sadly, it is the purpose of this letter to let you know that they no longer feel that mission work is for them at this time. There is no issue of morally or doctrinally. They are leaving BIMI in good standing and will be welcomed again in the future. To assist in their transition, the BIMI business office will continue to process any support for 3 months after their resignation date. We would encourage you to continue to support them during this time as they transition back. Please join me in prayer for this couple. As always, I'm available to answer any questions regarding this transition. Your co-laborer for Africa, Eric Bowman, Africa Field Director, BIMI. Thanks, Pastor.
It's one of the reasons why it's so important that we pray for our missionaries diligently. It is no light task going to the mission field, adjusting to a culture, a language, a way of life, customs, and things like that that take place. That's why it's so important that we pray for them. You know, we'll pray for them. Let's add them to, they're on our list on the back of your bulletin where we have our missionaries listed. And I meant to mark that. Where are they at? Number 20. So we'll make sure we'll be praying for them tonight as they make their that adjustment and where the Lord would have them to go next. We have another missionary, the Sterling family. We need to continue to pray for them. They had to leave Russia, and now they're waiting upon the Lord to see what else they do, whether they're going to go ahead and resign. He told me sometime before the summer is ended, he hoped to have a decision to whether to resign and do some other type of ministry or stay and do something else, maybe a pocket of Russians in America, in an area, a large population where he might be able to go. Right now, I think he's on his way if he hasn't gotten there yet. Out in the northwest, I guess there's a community out there that has a Russian church. They do not have a pastor, and he's wanting to visit them and see how they can encourage them, and who knows what the Lord may do with that. So keep them in prayer. So it's very important. We have, since February, we have probably have discontinued support somewhere between 6 and 8 missionaries. Some of them are because they're not Baptist. Some of them we have not heard from. I mean, no letters at all. Even though I've written and contacted our mission board, some of them still has not returned information, letters. Brother Sam and myself and Brother Dave has diligently also written and reached out. I've made a few phone calls. And so the next step is to tell them that we're discontinuing their support, which we have, and we discontinue their support, and we still haven't heard from them. And so it looks like we'll have some room coming up in the near future to consider taking on some other missionaries within established funds that we've already been sending out, especially those missionaries that will be conditioned. And I hate one of them because we share the same last name. But the Cooks in Canada, I don't think they've written since I've arrived at all, even though we have tried to reach out, have corresponded, reached out to them, but haven't heard from them. And then we'll go over our prayer list here in just a moment. I'm going to share something else with you. I've got a letter here from International Baptist College and Seminary. Remember the young couples, young students that were here, and I know they did a great job. Look forward to having them again sometime. Dear Pastor Cook, thank you for having the International Bible College and Seminary ministry team at Harvest Baptist Church. We are thankful that the team was an encouragement to your church family and thankful for your encouragement to them. In addition, thank you for your hospitality and a generous love offering of $500. If we at International IBCS can be a help to you, please let us know. We look forward to ministering again with you in the future. May the Lord bless you as you faithfully serve him in his service. Pastor Scott Olson, ministry team coordinator. And I've also have corresponded with Brother Olson and sent an official letter requesting maybe some students and that would like to have some practice and opportunity to be in ministry, sing in a choir, be involved in music, be involved in other things here. And hopefully through the summer, as students come back, we may hear back from them that somehow they may be involved, not only helping us, but I can also mentor them as we can as well as a congregation, be an encouragement to them. And then even if you disagree with me, tell me privately. Don't wave your hand and tell me. But here's my thoughts. If they want to be involved, even though they may not be able to have, even if it's rotating, taking turns and doing something, but they want to be here and be a part, sing in a choir, be involved, I think it would be great to have a half a dozen young people. That means other young couples that come and visit, they don't know their students temporarily. They just see other young couples in the church. They see other young men and young women in the church. I think that would be an asset to us. My home church did it for Crown College in Knoxville, Tennessee, for years and still do it, and has hired staff from that after they graduated through the years. And some of those have gone on and are now pastoring other churches that served on staff at our original home church. So just something there to pray about in that area. All right, so we're going to get your prayer list out. We'll go over some of these and have our prayer list. If you do not have one, there's some out there in the foyer, or if you can raise your hand, we'll get one for you. Let's go ahead under traveling. Let's go ahead and add IBCS traveling team to that traveling list. They're going to be traveling all summer. They'll be get back sometime in August to get ready to get back in school. So let's keep them a prayer. I'll give them send them a text message tonight. I have their team leader's text, a cell phone, to let them know that we prayed for them tonight. But let's go ahead and add them to the traveling request. Also, we have on the list under praises, our brother Childers, we mentioned last week, had an opportunity, was meeting with an owner of a former restaurant that closed due to COVID, acre and a half of land, over 2,000 square foot building, about renting it. And they're not willing to rent it, but is willing to give them a honey of a deal for $50,000 for the whole facilities. And so I would like for us just to consider praying about what we might be able to do in the future. I'll get some pictures together, tell you about it. Brother Childers was a member of my church in Germany. I've known him for several years. He did what I did, traveling churches, helping churches for several years, 10 or 12 years, before the Lord gave him liberty to start this church. It's a church plant. He has some own of his own finances from his retirement from the military, and he also has some support because that's not enough, some mission support, but not a lot. He is not asking for help. I am on his behalf. And just something to pray about. If they close on the building and they actually secure the building, then I'd like to bring it to a point for just a free will offering to those who would like to give. I know Michelle and I will be writing a check because we love them. They were members. They sat where you sat under our ministry for some years. And so we want to be a help to them. And if you would like to pray about that as well, and then maybe we can bring it up at a later date about some financial support for 16, 18 months and a reevaluation of how things are going, because he will not need support forever. It's a church plant. He's staying there once it's established. He got saved. He grew up in that town because a church an hour away sent a bus. That's how he got saved. And since that time, after going to the military, retiring from the military, there's still not a solid Baptist church there. There's some other denominations. There's cults. But some of us grew up with the term, oh, yeah, they live on the other side of the tracks. That whole town is on the other side of the tracks. Very poor, very impoverished. It will take some doing to build a church, to have their own building. And here God has put something in their lap. They already have $20,000 of the $50,000 already. And that was from their sending church and from what they have saved personally and their small congregation. I think they run about 10 Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night consistently. And they've been there less than a year. And so just keep that in prayer. We'll talk about it more later as well. I don't think we should do anything in a reference of helping them with a love offering for a building or the remodeling until they secure the building. And once it's secured, then we could talk about maybe a love offering to help them for the remodeling portion. He told me they need 20 gallons of Dawn just to get started because they closed because of COVID and have not been able to reopen. So there'll be some cleanup and work to do. Hopefully you have a handout. If you need one, just raise your hand. We'll make sure that you get one. We'll go ahead and turn to Psalm 23 tonight, and we'll pick up in verse 1 where we left off last week. Last week we looked in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, and we'll look at the second part, I shall not want, tonight. And I'm going to do my best, knowing that it's a little later than we had planned, but I'm going to do my best not to talk too fast. We can always do part 2 at another time. Let's see here. I did not put all the scriptures in the notes tonight, and so I'll pause a little bit to give you a chance to turn to some other areas that we'll look at in the Gospels a little bit later. But when we began to closely study the phrase here of our little title, I shall not want, and we look at it with a full understanding and the full scope of what the meaning of it is, we begin to see just what David meant when he said, I shall not want. As we see that breakdown here, that's me. It's personal. We can take that to ourselves and say, I shall not want. We can, of course, have our family included, but sometimes we need to just look at it as my relationship, my part with my Savior. I love my wife and I love my children. I love them all. But there's sometimes it's just the one-on-one, whether it be just with her or just the kids or one of the children or one of the grandchildren. In other words, I am the one who enjoys the benefits of this special relationship, I. And then we see that word shall, inevitability. This is definitely going to happen. It's not a matter of I might not want, I shall not want. And then we see that third word, not. In other words, we know what it means. It's never, never. There is no cause for fear or alarm. Isn't it something how we forget some of those things as adults? Remember as a child, we had full confidence in mom and dad. How many of us remember standing on the hood of a truck, the cab of a truck, or even a taller building and had no problems jumping off for dad to catch you? Or jumping in the water knowing you can't swim because mom or dad was there. Had no fear. I shall not want. We never thought for a moment to have fear or alarm of anything because my dad was there, my mom was there, my big brother was there. In this case, my shepherd is there. I shall not want. In other words, we shall never be found lacking or in need of anything. God, there's so much the Lord has provided. And sometimes we don't understand and we confuse the aspects of needs and wants. And many times God goes beyond our needs to even our wants. And he teaches us what our wants should be and what they need to be. And we learn the difference. With these words clearly defined here in this passage, we can better understand a couple of things. First of all, I am in the care of the Good Shepherd. He is my shepherd. He's the one watching over me. I pray for our missionaries. I often say, Lord, put a hedge about them. I pray for our men. Lord, put a hedge about them. Protect them from sin. Protect them from physical harm and distress. Protect them from hurting others as well. I say that prayer, and we as well can realize in our Good Shepherd, he has the same interest and beyond for our good will and for our needs. And then we see, I am not only in care of the Good Shepherd, but I am completely contented with his care of me. I mean, think about it for a moment. Is there anything God has done for us, through us, that he did wrong? I mean, we may not like it. At times it may not be comfortable, but the bottom line is we should be, and I know I am, contented with this care for me. I shall not want. I am in care of the Good Shepherd. I am completely contented with his care of me. See, the first point there, I'm in the care of the shepherd, speaks of my relationship to the shepherd. While the second point addresses my fellowship with the shepherd. And we can see those differences. Now, don't get trapped into thinking that God's provisions only come in terms of the material or the physical. Sometimes, if we're not careful, we think in general that it's material things or the physical things, but that's not the case. Example, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4, in verse number 4, the Bible says, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." So we must keep in mind that material prosperity is not necessarily a sign of God's blessings. I don't know about you. I have some wealthy family members. I have some wealthy classmates, alumni, that are miserable people. They have a lot of things, and they can say on their own, I have no wants or needs, but they're miserable. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not," Revelation 3, 17, "and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." This verse pleads this question. If God's blessings are not necessarily material, then how can any of us honestly say, I shall not want? If those blessings are not necessarily material, again, how can any of us say that I shall not want? Number one, by recognizing the delight of the shepherd. By recognizing the delight of the shepherd. Notice that the emphasis is on the shepherd's love for his sheep. Letter A there, notice, he delights in spending time with his sheep. He delights in spending time with his sheep. I remember when the children were home, I always tried to do as much as I could with the children. For many of you, you'll understand when I say this. The first two, there was a learning curve involved. And there was a few years in between, and then we had two more. And we learned how not to do things, and we learned how to do some things better. And one thing that I did better, especially me, but I did this with all of my girls, we had daddy-daughter date. All the time, regularly, separately with my girls. They're grown, they're married, they have children, and when they're in town, they come to visit, I go to visit them. Okay, Dad, when are we having our date while you're here? And often it was just a trip out for a bowl of ice cream and coffee and walking and talking or maybe sometimes going to buy a small gift or token if it was their birthday, but spending the time together. And I think of this because it says he delights in spending time with his sheep. I can only imagine the delight the Lord has spending with me compared to the delight that I have with my children. There's no comparison. I love it. I enjoy it. But he delights in spending time with us. And therefore, we should make ourselves available and want to spend that time with him. John 10:2 tells us, "But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." Here the word shepherd in John 10 comes from the Greek word poimene. And it means a shepherd or a pastor. It's a word that is telling of the amount of time a real shepherd spends with his flock. A shepherd who neglects his flock obviously will not get a lot of wool, will not get other things he needs from his sheep, but one who cares for them and provides for them and nourishes them. And the Lord desires that for us. Again, it's a word that is telling. The first thing in the morning, the shepherd will be out to examine the flock even before moving them from the fold into the day's grazing. He's out there checking them wherever they may be, maybe they'll be fenced in or in a barn or a closure or wherever he may have them, but he goes through and he checks each and every single one of them to make sure that everything is okay, there's no problems through the night before they even go out to begin the day of grazing. And during the day, the shepherd will be moving in and around his flock, keeping a watchful eye, like we did when the children were little and we thought they had us by the hand and we turned around and the hand wasn't in your hand anymore, that bit of a panic to make sure where they were. our shepherd is a sense that he keeps watch over us very keenly. A very keen and watchful eye. Even at night before the flock is bedding down in the fold, he will make sure his sheep know that his presence is there. We've been reminded, having our daughter and our grandchildren with us quite a bit of recent. And it doesn't always work. I don't know why it works with Grandpa. Maybe sometimes Grandpa's a little sterner. But they can be up and about or saying they're afraid or they're concerned about this. All I have to do is remind them, hey, I'll leave the door cracked. The light's in the hallway, and Papaw's just around the corner. And little Jovi will pipe up and say, oh, okay. And she'll lay down and go off to sleep. Just the affirmation that someone is watching out. And we should have that comfort of knowing that our shepherd, the great shepherd, is always on watch and care for us. He delights in spending time with his sheep. Deuteronomy chapter 31, in verse number 6, the Bible says, be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that that doth go with thee. Notice here, he will not fail thee nor forsake thee. There's no reason to fear, as the song says, when Jesus is near. I know we have our fears, we have our concerns. As adults, they're different. I would hope no one here is still afraid of the boogeyman and needs a light on to go to sleep. We're adults now. But we fear other things. We fear finances. We fear other things. We're all safe and secure in those feelings that we had as a child. But then again, do we sleep with the light on still? But we have other fears. And they're real. Bumps in the night. My wife hears a noise in the middle of the night. I'm up looking. Figuring out what it's not. But I've got to go. Or I won't get back to sleep. Until she does. But we don't have to have that fear, knowing that he has everything under control. But we have other fears, paying the bills. What are the have the interest rate? The rate's going up, oppression, depression, what all is going on? It's natural things that, if we're not careful, can allow us to consume us, or we can say, all right, Lord, this is no surprise to you. I need to go ahead and carry out my day, finish my devotions, finish my time with you, go about my day. You've got this in control. So we see that he delights in spending time with us, but then letter B, he delights in leading his sheep. See, the problem is, will we let him lead us? He delights in leading his sheep. Again, back to John chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Again, we're studying this. I'm going back in history in my mind to the shepherd of Sebron. Sebron is the name of the small little community where 6 or 8 families lived in this farming community, where the shepherd of Sebron was there. He never drove his sheep. He always, never did I see anything different. He always led them, even to the very edge of an actor throughway about 300 yards below the community where we live. It was a major throughway. He led them. They knew to follow. They were taught to follow. And that is the way it is with our shepherd. He leads us. Sometimes he has to chastise us, but he leads us. So are we following him? Instead of driving us, he leads his dear children along. The Bible tells us in Psalm 78, in verse number 52, but made his own people to go forth like sheep and guided them in the wilderness like a flock. So he delights in leading his sheep. And the letter C, he delights in providing for his sheep. I can only imagine the delight the Lord has in providing and meeting our basic needs and wants and desires. I know how joyful it is for me when I can meet a need with one of my children, my wife, my grandchildren. I delight to be able to do that, but even more so, our shepherd delights in providing for his sheep. Again, back in John chapter 10 and verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. See, the word abundantly here means to be superabundant as to quantity and superior to quality. He wants our life to be abundant. It carries the idea of God meeting our needs in every way possible, in the best way possible. In giving us eternal life, our shepherd met the need the only way possible, by his grace. Amen? In providing for our current life, he has met our needs in the very best way possible, by giving us what he knows is best. Now, it's easy to say, remember the old black and white, Father knows best. But dear friends, our Heavenly Father knows what's best yesterday, today, and tomorrow, and the day after. He knows what we need. And too often, as we learn and we grow, sometimes our prayer changes for the things that we think we want or need to line up with the things that God knows that we need. You see, the wicked always want, but the righteous never. A sinner's heart is far from satisfaction, but a generous spirit dwells in the palace of content. Think about it. I'll say that one more time. The wicked always want, but the righteous never. A sinner's heart is far from satisfaction, but a gracious spirit dwells in the palace of content. Are we content and happy in knowing that this is what God has for me? This is what God has entrusted me with. He delights in providing for his sheep. Romans 8:28, we all know. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. I've heard people quote that. I've heard people talk about it. And I have to be honest, I've also questioned some of those people. Do they remember that portion in there? To them that love God. To them that love God. Unfortunately, we only want to consider the things that we want as being that which is best. We think what we want is best, but yet we know our Heavenly Father knows what is best. In the shepherd's economy, it may be very different, a very different plan. It may be a very different plan that he has, because he alone knows what is truly is best for us. I'm reminded at times, and we've all done this, I would think we have, but sometimes, gentlemen, our wife reminds us of what we want and what we need and what the difference is. And our Heavenly Father has the ability to do it so much better that we don't have to worry about that. We can trust him in knowing that which he's provided for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me, Paul says. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly will I therefore rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Paul says it's much better to keep my infirmities, to have the power of God working in me and reminding me, than to be without some of the discomforts, to be without these pleasures, to be without these other things. We can adjust that and fits in well and have the power of God in my life. In other words, I would not trade health. I would not trade this discomfort for the risk or the thinking that I would not have the power of God on me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Dear friends, he delights in providing for his sheep. And then letter D, he delights in protecting his sheep. John chapter 10, once again, verse 11 through 13. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catches them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. See, the shepherd protects his sheep because he loves them. No fear is going to come to keep me from protecting my sheep. He protects them because he views them as a precious investment. I have given my life for them. And as a pastor and as pastors in general, us men who do pastor across our state, across our world, we should do our best in the area of realizing that we are investing and in loving with the congregation that the Lord has given me. I am to shepherd them. I am to love them. I am to invest in them, whether they respond and follow or not. Sometimes it's difficult, but if I'm going to be like Christ and I'm going to be the shepherd the Lord would have me to be, that love for me, to my people, to God is provided here, is unconditional. And yet, at times it can be hard, but that's what it is. But it's not hard for our Savior. The shepherd protects his sheep because he loves them. He protects them because he views them as a precious, precious investment. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise the Lord. He delights in protecting his sheep. Now we sometimes, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Right? He's so much more than that. So much more. And he desires to have more from us. And sometimes I wonder that we don't get out of it, much out of it, because we don't put much into it. I heard a preacher, missionary, evangelist complaining about the message that he preached and how the people care for them and leaving and the love offering was just lacking. They just didn't give the way. And on their way out, I guess one of the kids heard, and maybe someone else heard, and they were driving in the car and comment was made, and someone simply said, well, Dad, maybe if you'd have put more in, you'd have got more out. Now, sometimes we get out of what we put into it. And our relationship with the Lord should not be one way. But it will continue to be one way if we do nothing, because he loves us that much. But when it's two ways, how much sweeter that it is, how much more comforting it is to know as he provides and meets and ministers to us. Number two, so move right along here. By recognizing the delight of the sheep. Now, if you remember, as we began, we're talking about the shepherd, but now the sheep. This time, the emphasis is on how the sheep love the shepherd. Letter A, they delight in knowing their shepherd. They delight in knowing their shepherd. John chapter 10 and verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known of mine. I do not have an example of living or being around sheep other than observing. But I do know what it's like as a young boy to visit a dairy farm. I don't know how much similarities there are with sheep and with the cows, but I do think there's at least one. And I learned something spending a week one summer on a dairy farm helping my uncle's sister's family's dairy farm. And it was a hard week. It was an experience and one I will never forget. I have never worked so hard, slept so hard, ate so good, seen and drank so much milk in my life. I learned that I could not call the cows, no matter how hard and how long I yelled. Cow calling or calling cows, they didn't respond to me because they didn't know me. But my third cousin, who was up with, could go out and ring the bell and holler, and those cows would just come to the barn. After seeing that every day for 4 or 5 days, I got out there and I got to yelling too. And all I ended up with was with a sore throat and a whole bunch of cows lifting up, looking at me, and going back and eating in the pasture. No response. Why? Because they didn't know me. But dear friends, our shepherd knows us. And if we know him, we know his voice, and he knows our voice as well. They delight in knowing their shepherd. And then letter B, they delight in submitting to their shepherd. Now that's a hard one. Are we willing to submit to the shepherd? I remember my favorite Bible college professor was Dr. Dan Truax. Some of you may or may not have heard of him, if you can find anything about him. I've got some books that he's written, and he's taken a lot of hymns, the same tune, changed the words to go along with mission themes. I had the privilege of writing with him through a semester because he had eye surgery. And I've got loads of stories. I need to maybe start fitting them into some of my sermons. Spending time with him and traveling, driving him to missions conferences because he could not see because of his surgery for several weeks. And he got permission for me to drive him to keep those meetings and get back for class on Monday. And I took his missions classes. A great experience that I had. And I learned some things about that and that aspect of they delight in submitting to their shepherd. He came to class one day and told all of us, take out a blank piece of paper. And he said, sign your name at the bottom. Several students looked up. What am I signing this blank piece of paper for? Others signed their name, held on to that paper with both hands. I'm not letting this loose. And he said, all right, you got your name signed? Those of you who are scratching your head or afraid to do it, I'm not going to take it from you. You're going to put this back in your folder. Go ahead, sign your name. So we signed our name to it, and he said, on the top, I want you to write, dear Lord, please fill in your will for my life at the top and leave a nice blank place in the middle. And he said, now put that in your folder. We'll talk about it next week. I tell you what, there was a lot of talk between classes and coffee, but between every single class for the rest of the day, talking about that very example. I wonder what Brother Truax is going to say next. I wonder what he's referring to. He's going to try to get us all to surrender to the mission field. Because that was Brother Truax. He came to mission conferences. He had this large black robe. One size fits all. And he'd always tell everybody, hey, if you're called to the mission field, this thing will fit you. Of course, it fit everyone that he wrapped it around. Because he thought everyone should go to the mission field. In fact, he thought everyone should go to Africa to the mission field. Again, I've got stories I could tell. But that aspect, they delight in submitting to their shepherd. Would we be willing to say that? Lord, please fill in your will for my life and sign that blank check. Sign that thing on the bottom and put it in a prayer journal and leave it there and say, Lord, please give me peace and direction and fill that in for me and be willing to go no matter where it is. Even if it meant selling your home. Even if it meant doing other things. Even if it meant, and I can go on and on and on. I went to Bible college when I was in my mid-20s, late 20s. I guess I graduated when I was 30. You know, there was men there that were twice my age going to Bible college to go out and serve the Lord. I know one gentleman who graduated at 62 years old and took his first pastorate right after he graduated. I know some even older than that. They've said, Lord, please fill in your will for my life. Sign the bottom. I went to school with another fellow who was a pharmacist, very wealthy, owned his own place. Got saved. 2 years later, God called him to preach. He shut the doors and put the building up for sale and went to Bible college. Have lost track. I don't know where he's at yet. But he was willing and said, I delight in submitting to my shepherd, whatever he wants. John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. See, the word follow comes from the Greek word here, akolotheo, and it means to be in the same way with. To be in the same way with. Think about that for just a few moments. To be in the same way means that I yield my rights to his authority. I give up my rights. I give up any authority I have. I give it all to my shepherd. And whatever he says, I do. Wherever he leads, I will go. That's the old missionary's slogan. Where he leads me, I will follow. When he feeds me, I will swallow. That can be scary on the mission field, let me tell you. So to be in the same way again means to yield my rights. You like that, huh, Tony? To his authority. So now the question is not what I do or what I want to do, but what does my shepherd want me to do? We did that as children. Dad, what do you want me to do today? Out for the summer, spring break, fall break. Lord, Dad, what do I need to do today? What do you have me to do today? Are we willing to do that with our shepherd? Lord, what do you want me to do? Luke 9:23, we're almost done. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. If you remember here a few weeks back, we had the privilege of having the Frosto family with us, had a time of prayer with them before they left, and they are getting ready now to leave. They put up their house for sale, their car for sale. Everything's been relinquished, and they're leaving for the field because the Lord has led them, because they have submitted to their shepherd. They said, I will take up my cross and I will follow my shepherd. Let her see and then we'll be done. They delight in loving their shepherd. The sheep are not only they are delighting in him, but they not only are they know their shepherd, not only do they submit to their shepherd, but they also delight in loving their shepherd. 1 John 4:10, here is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be a propitiation for our sins. 1 John again 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. See, the sheep love the shepherd because of who he is to them. Who is he to you? He is our shepherd. We love him. The sheep love the shepherd, not only because of what or who he is to them, but also because of what he has done for them. Not just who he is, but because of what he has done. Dear friends, to be honest, he has done everything. Everything. I mean, when you conclude and think about eternal life, what else is there? He has done everything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Again, we thank you for your goodness, the blessings and joy of fellowship, the blessings and joy of service. Thank you for the privilege of coming together and having a time to pray together, to look at the Word of God together, to pray for one another, to pray for our missionaries, to hear from our missionaries. And then, Father, as we close, I just want to remember the Brother Patrick and his wife, Annalise, Lord, and I know it's tough. I know Michelle and I have struggled at times on the mission field, times we thought we'd give up and come home. But, Lord, they're having some struggles. And, Lord, please bless them. Give them wisdom and direction. Do not let them be defeated. Lord, help them not to listen to the devil, Lord, knowing that because they may not have fit in there, they may not have been able to make it work, that does not mean that you do not have a plan for them. They have gained some knowledge. They have learned some things. And, Lord, they have learned from this experience that you can use to help them to be a blessing to others and to be more effective in the next ministry you have for them. Father, please bless them and meet their needs. And then, Father, as we depart, help us to forever and always remember that you are our shepherd and that you delight in your love toward us, and we should do the same because we do not want. Father, we love you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Lord bless you, folks. I know it's a little bit later than normal, but still before 8:00.